Today I want to talk to you a little bit about the sacrifice. You got a lot of reverb going on back here. Got it? That's a lot better. Thank you. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about sacrifice today and the importance of sacrifice. Many of you, you're all here today as a result of someone else sacrificing for you, giving up for the sake of someone else. You know, it might be a mother who wakes up at 2 in the morning to take care of and comfort a child that is scared, or maybe a father that will run into traffic to retrieve his son that decides that it's a game to run away from the sisters and run into the street. Or maybe it's a mother who is willing to give up her kidney for her Down syndrome daughter, and then when that kidney fails, then the brother that gives up his kidney for a Down syndrome sister. These are all situations that I am aware of that I know that have happened. We are here today in this great nation, the United States, which I consider to be the greatest nation in the world because of the sacrifices of others. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their convictions resulted in untold suffering. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Baxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on his own home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died in bankruptcy. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled from their homes. His field and mills were destroyed. Over a year, he lived in the forests and caves, returning home only to find that his wife had died and his children had vanished. A few weeks later, he died of exhaustion. All sacrifices for us. I think even the church, people who've made sacrifices, we think of Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, that because of his stances was eventually excommunicated from the church and was condemned as an outlaw by the emperor, sacrificing for us. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn to that, Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to be really reading verses 35 to 40. It talks about the sacrifices that others have made for us and for the advancement of God's kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 35, it says this: others were tortured and refused to be released, that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. And they wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, and in the caves, in the holes of the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And God had planned something better for us, so only together with us would they be made perfect. I want you to think about this. Here are these people who gave their lives for the cause of God and for doing what God thought was right. It brings out some situations. Doesn't talk about who this happened to. It says stoned to death. That was probably the Zechariah the prophet. And that's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Sawed in two. Tradition has it that Isaiah and Uzziah, the prophet, were put to death that way in Jeremiah 26, 23. They wandered about. Many of God's people suffered and wandered about in that way. But yet, I find very interesting, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38, it says, "And the world is not worthy of them." If I were to look at that one passage of Hebrews chapter 11, which we consider the heroes of the faith, I think that that is the most prominent statement that's made there. These people that the world looks down upon, that the world says, "Oh, how terrible you are," and yet the world is not worthy of them. I was on Facebook yesterday, and I saw one of those Facebook pop-ups things, a couple of the Atlanta fire chief. 2 years ago, the Atlanta fire chief lost his job because he wrote a book, and in his book he said, "This is what the biblical view of marriage is," and he lost his job as being the fire chief, even though he has never done absolutely any discrimination, even in his hiring. The world is not worthy of them. Verse 39 says, "All these have obtained a good testimony through faith and not received the promise." It means they knew what God said is true. And they were willing to hold on to what is true. We were talking about that in the Sunday school class today, a little bit about the second coming of Christ. And it seems to always go into those types of discussions. Can you stay strong for Christ? Can you stay strong for Christ? Well, you know, if there is no hope, you're not going to stay strong. But if you know that there's a better life a-coming, and you know that what you stand up for is true, then you can sacrifice. Many times we take for granted the sacrifices of others. I think about that in our own country, where we lose appreciation for this great nation, where we lose appreciation for what others have done, where we lose that appreciation. And I think it's because we forget about the great sacrifices that others have made. In your hands right now, many of you have a Bible. And there are those who gave their lives for the sake of you having a Bible in English, for you having a Bible in a language that you could understand. William Tyndale, for example. In 1536, he was defrocked and at a public ceremony and was eventually put to death by strangulation, and they eventually burned his body, all because he said that the Bible should be in the language of the people and not in Latin. You are here today because of the benefits and the sacrifices that others have given. But I want us to remember that our freedom, our religion, our faith, and our future was not cheap. It cost. Your salvation was not cheap. It cost. One of my favorite scripture passages is Philippians chapter 2, where it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." This past week, we had another tragedy in a school. Noblesville, Indiana. A student went in with two guns and decided that he was going to make a name for himself. A teacher stood up to that student and knocked him to the ground, and that teacher took three bullets. Why? Because in humility he valued others above himself. There's a lot of questions as to why this is happening, why this seems to be so frequent, why do we have these kids that are going to the schools and they are shooting people? And there's a lot of reasons why. Some people say, well, we need to get God back into schools. I don't contend that. We need to get God back into the families, where we're teaching these kids who Jesus Christ is, and that you are valuable and everyone else is valuable. And then they're saying, well, we need to have prayer back in the schools. Prayer is in the schools. Every time there's a test and the kids didn't study for it, they're praying. We need to have prayer back in the families. And we establish it in the families, and it grows from there. Why is this happening? because we have taught that we're more important than others. And Philippians chapter 2 says, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Wow. Not looking at your own interests, but the interests of others. So we have a kid that goes in and starts shooting, and he's not thinking about the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So God became man and spent time with us, left heaven and came to this earth. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Every Thursday I go to a pastor's prayer meeting, and this week we had a pastor who just came back from a foreign country, Malaysia, that's what it was, just came back from Malaysia, and was telling all the stories that were happening. And he said, I met this pastor who goes into Vietnam. And he says he goes into Vietnam to share the gospel. And he described how they have these meetings with thousands of people there. And the Vietnamese government does not want him in there. And how he has to hide. And how he has to go in this way and do this. You know, he leaves the meeting dressed up in someone else's clothes. And on and on and on it goes. Willing to give for the sake of Christ. And in China, where we have our Chinese church, the house church movement that's happening in China right now, where the government's literally coming in and arresting them and trying to shut them down. And you say we don't have a great nation? Does somebody here work for the government trying to shut us down? Is somebody videotaping me right now so they can have a court case against me? Then it says this, therefore God exalted him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have a bright future. We benefit by the sacrifices of others. Hear me. 2 months ago, we had an Easter egg hunt here at the church. 7,000 Easter eggs. Plus the candy cannon. Can't forget that. First service, we had a new family in church. Why? Because of the Easter egg hunt. We're in the middle of T-ball, taking a lot of time, taking a lot of effort. A lot of you have sacrificed your time to show these kids how to play T-ball, how to play baseball. And you're saying, well, what good is it doing? The gospel will be presented to each of these kids. And yes, it's sacrifice. And yes, you pull your hair out. I had a kid this week that got the bat, and here's the tee. And he looks at me. He gets a smile on his face. And I turned around to pick up the ball. Right when I turned around to pick up a ball, another kid comes up. He smiles and says, conk. Without a helmet, conk. And now I have to deal with mom, and I have to deal with the other mom, and they're all crying and everything else, you know. And then hopefully they'll become friends. Or maybe you're sitting there and you're trying to teach them how to catch a ball. How do you catch a ball when you're playing baseball? Like this? Like this? Like this, two hands, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, when you catch the ball, I want you to catch the ball like an alligator, right there, okay? And the little girl goes, I don't want to be an alligator. I want to be a clam. Okay? And the other one goes, well, I don't want to be a clam. I want to be a seashell. I said, okay, you can be whatever you want to be. All right, I'm a clam. Well, I'm a seashell. All right, this is how you catch a ball. When you're willing to be when you're willing to sacrifice, God honors it. And I truly believe that whatever you do, if you do for the glory of God, it will not come back in vain. We benefit as a result of the sacrifice of others, and we benefit as a result of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we come on Sunday morning, to say thank you. And that's what the purpose of the rest of the service is to say thank you. To say thank you to those who have served, to say thank you to those who've given, some of them literally, parts of their lives, so that we can come here today. It's fascinating doing this little research project I did in the church. Four family members gave their lives the ultimate sacrifice. One person was in a POW camp. Just found out a couple days ago it was Auschwitz. And the only reason why that person stayed alive is because the person had O negative blood and they needed the blood. Found another person was left behind lines. The German lines. These people sacrificed for you, willingly or unwillingly. We used to have what was called the draft. You had no choice. But because of the sacrifice of others, we have the ability to be here today.